Good morning. For those of us gathered here today, we invite you to go ahead and rise as you're able, and we're going to be moving into worship this morning with the song, Find the Light.
It's okay to say you're not alright. I feel it too. You broke down, hopes drowned, no end inside, and the lies break through. The days get dark. Try to find the light. It's all around. The beat of your heart cries for new light can be found. Just start the day. You're here now to look back, to wish that your heart could change sometime, somehow. When the days get dark, try to find the light. It's all around. Yeah. The beat of your heart cries for a new life. It can be found.
Please be seated. Take a breath as we prepare ourselves for prayer.
One, 27, morning tide. She cries out for the nurse, for blessed relief, for God. She bears down with the power waiting in her bones. They surround her saintly in their inadequacy and desperation and profound hope. And then something more than each fleshly form breaks forth, sings forth, makes, takes all breath, all concerted effort, all surrender torn. And the noise and the chaos and the glory of it all is somehow made real by a small wrinkled bean's pitched battle call, more lovely than the loveliest of things, more wizened than our egos could ever be. And to think this happens daily in all realms of existence, the ceaseless pouring forth of creation, spirit made flesh and rock made sanded beach, seed made field bent by wind's persistence. This is what ordinary is. Days are filled with simple things and terrible beauties, like love and loneliness or shoelaces, poems, and our small hearts grow and hardened and are made soft again, 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 once more. for you are not done with me, and I am not done with you. October 27th, one death at home, 135 in a gilded state, 2018 in a country strong, 9,590 in the world you made, 4.97 million these long months passed. What do I do with numbers? What can I do with words? What do I make of unjust suffering? Can I crack open this false dichotomy? Life, death, absurd. We are so small and reality is not. Can I return to the waters that bore me? Release this body to the pool of the tide, to the ancestors who breathed me here, to the infinite iterations of human time. Can I find hope in all that ordinary, so big, unseen, so near? Blessed feet meet maker's lips, blessed brow graced with kiss, wrinkled skin wet from womb, holy hands, return me to earth soon. Lift up our heads.
I invite you to stand again as you are able, and if you would like, for our next song, Abide With Me.
Abide with me. Thus falls the evening tide, the darkness deepens. Lord, with me abide. When other helpers fall and comforts flee, help of the helpless, abide with me. I need thy presence every passing hour. What but thy grace can foil the tempter's power? Who like thyself, my guide and stay? Through cloud and sunshine, Lord, abide with me. Swift to its closes, our life's little days, earth's joys grow dim, its glories pass away, change and decay. All around I see, O thou who changest not, abide with me. Tears lose their bitterness. Where is thy sting, death? Where grave thy victory? triumph still if thou abide with me. Hold thy thou cross before my closing eyes. Shine through the gloom and point me to the sky. Shadows flee. In life and death, Lord, abide with me. In life and death, Lord, abide with me.
I invite you to be seated. Welcome and good morning to the table at Central United Methodist Church. However you find yourself this morning, waking up on this new day, we just welcome you into this space exactly as you are. My name is Chloe McKellier, and I serve our community of faith here, building out our social enterprise Table Farm and Table Bread. Co-pastors Linda Duhirsu and Matt Smith are at a regional church conference this week, and so I have the privilege to be here today with Molly Knappen, who is our ministry intern here at the Table UMC. You might notice or recognize, our pictures from being often online with you all, and for those of us gathering online, that's often where we find ourselves at the 9:30 service. So it's extra special to be here in person and also to be streaming online during 9:30 as well. We're very grateful that Derek and Vivian from our community will be taking our place this morning online. And so if you are meeting and gathering with us through our online platform and as we navigate this new space, if you have any questions, please don't hesitate to direct message them or share in the chat, and they'll be there to be with you. For any of us who may be here for the first time today, we would love for you to text the word new to the number on the screen. Or you can go to the website, thetableumc.org, and find a Connect pop-up in the bottom right-hand corner there. And this morning, if you'd like to follow along, instead of printed bulletins, we now use QR codes, which are scattered throughout the sanctuary in the rows. And that will give, we'll also give a link for those of us online, just if you'd like to kind of know the flow of where we're headed next. And if that's not your personality, we can just be here and we'll guide the way as well. When you're ready to meet others and learn a little bit more about how we share life here together at the table, we invite you to consider joining a six-week series co-taught by our pastors, Linda and Matt. Our next group will be offered online beginning November 9th. And here this morning in person, as we watch over each other in love, we just ask folks to continue wearing masks while we're indoors. We're offering loving and professional childcare outside, godly play during the 9:30 service, and nursery care during the 11 a.m. service. Today's worship is inspired by a holiday that's marked in the Christian church called All Saints Day. And so this week, we will not be sharing communion. Instead, after Molly shares her message with us, we'll be transitioning into a time of remembrance and candle lighting. We'll guide you as we come to that place. But for those of us gathered here in the sanctuary, we just wanted to let you know we have some wonderful people in our community who are trained in spiritual direction or social work, and who will be available throughout the service. If there's any point where you would just like someone to hold some space with you or to be with you, if during this time you any sense of remembrance comes up and you want someone to accompany you in that. So they are located at the back of the sanctuary and will be there throughout the service. For those of us online, feel free to direct message Derek or Vivian at any point as well, or you can sit down in the virtual rows, which they can direct you to. We just recognize that sometimes it's challenging to navigate the realities of loss and grief. So at this time, we will continue to move in worship as our music team shares the song The Old Story by Trevor and Emery Hall. We invite you just to remain seated and to simply notice the breath that sustains you as these words flow over and through you.
You could play it out, but all of it's in your head. Holding on with both two hands, gotta let it go. Is it really you knocking at your own? Always looking for something more. Don't be a fool now. Don't be a fool. Oh, no, no, no. You just gotta let that old story go. You just gotta let that good river flow into your heart. It's a start. It's a start. Where you're gonna run to, if you're gonna run from here, only running from your own fear. It'll catch up now. Gotta let it die. Gotta let it go its own way. Who will you be if you let it stay? Oh, no, no, no. You just gotta let that old story go. You just gotta let that good river flow into your heart. It's a start. Just gotta let that good river flow into your heart. It's a start.
Good morning. We encourage those here in the sanctuary and those online to follow along in your own Bibles or with the scripture you'll see on the screens as I share a translation of Psalm 24 by the Reverend Dr. Will Gaffney. To the Creator of all belongs the earth and all that fills her, the world and those who dwell in her. For God upon the seas has founded her, and on the rivers has established her. Who shall ascend the hill of the Holy One? And who shall stand in God's holy place? The woman or a man who has clean hands and pure hearts, who does not lift up their hands to what is false, and do not swear deceitfully on their souls. Instead, they will lift up a blessing from the faithful God and what is right from the God of their salvation. Such is the generation of those who seek God, who seek the face of the God of Rebekah, Selah. Lift up your hearts, you gates, and be lifted up, you everlasting doors, and the one of glory may come in. Who is the one of glory? The fire of Sinai, strong and mighty, the God who is majesty, mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, you gates, and be lifted up, you everlasting doors, that the one of glory may come in. Who is this one of glory? The commander of heaven's legions. God is the one of glory. Selah.
Hi. I am Molly Knappen. I'm a seminary intern here at the table, and as Chloe mentioned, usually we serve online service, so it's a pleasure to be here as well as online today. We're celebrating All Saints Day, and I would like to tell you about my grandfather, and oh, there he is. Okay. This is my grandfather. He was a church-going atheist. I have no idea what other sins he took to the grave, but if Dante is to believe, he is either in a burning coffin down on 6 or a few floors lower with the hypocrites on 8. So that's where he's at right now if you believe Dante. Today we're celebrating All Saints Day. This is a tradition that's about 1,700 years old. All Saints Day honors martyrs who have died for their faith and the sainted faithful who have died. All Souls Day is a remembrance of the not-so-saintly Christians, and that follows on November 2nd. And then today, which is All Hallows Eve, is the day before All Saints. And these dates didn't get firmed up for about 1,000 years, except you're a Swedish Lutheran, and if you happen to pop by, I've got questions because I think this is your second All Saints Day, and I'm really confused, and I'd love some clarity there. But here's the scoop. So a good chunk of Protestants carried All Saints Day with them through the Reformation, and All Souls traditions have been folded in along the way, and those traditions include chiming of bells, for whom the bell tolls, and reading aloud names of those who are no longer here. Consequently, All Saints Day invites us not just to remember the extraordinary, but name our specific losses and celebrate those people we love who have passed this last year. My grandfather has been gone for decades, and not a week goes by that I don't think about him. Some years I still call out his name as the recent and faithfully departed, but he was not a Christian. So that makes me wonder who is in and who is out. This week we're holding together an ancient song, Psalm 24. It's a song, and this ancient church tradition of All Saints Day. Psalm 24 sings of God's possession of creation. It speaks of the pure-hearted who ascend to seek God. The song claims the triumph of the one in glory. It is a beautiful song and a beautiful celebration. But between the saints and the seekers, I am not fighting my grandfather, who is neither. The World Health Organization tells us that COVID deaths are about 5 million people at this point. And the CDC says about 730,000 of those are in the US. That is a horrifying loss of life. And who among them get to be called the saints? So on the screen right now, this is a Spanish altarpiece called The Trinity Adored by All Saints. It's from about 1400. I wish I had a laser pointer. So at the very center, there are angels, and they are fighting these demons, and they're coming up out of the mouth of this Leviathan-like creature. And you can see on the sides, the saints are stacked. And they're like action figures. It's like you can collect the whole pack. And up above the angels fighting, there's God enthroned, who's holding the crucified Jesus. And up above, there's another crucified Jesus. And at the very top, you can see the angels are playing music. So there's here's the detail. Okay, so zooming in, you can see it a little bit better. And I want you to consider this portion of Psalm 24. Who shall ascend the hill of the Holy One? And who shall stand in God's holy place? A woman or a man who has clean hands and pure hearts. Who is the one of glory? The fire of Sinai, strong and mighty. The God who is majesty, mighty in battle. So this understanding of Psalm 24 and All Saints Day is old. And I think it's a bit like this altarpiece. There is symmetry and pattern. There's order and there's hierarchy. There is a violence of angels fighting for the God who is majesty, mighty in battle. And if you look at it, you'll see the saints are segregated on the stack. They're stacked by holiness, ascending towards the angels at the top. And this is not my preferred understanding of divinity. And I get that this really speaks to some people. And if it does speak to you, and it gives you hope, and it roots you in Christ, by all means. For me, this doesn't connect. It's beautiful and historic. It's Christian, and that art we just looked at is devotional. But still, it doesn't connect at all. What you might have noticed if you're looking at it is all the women are on the bottom shelf of saints. There's no place for me. There's no place for my grandfather. In this cosmology, my grandfather's about 10 floors down, right? Like, and he's down there sporting that leaden coat. And I'm not saying he didn't look sharp in a blue-gray sport coat, because he did. But he is not in hell. There are different ways to understand who is a saint and who makes that rarefied cut. And Psalm 24 already told us. As the eldest child of an eldest child, I spent a large chunk of my childhood in my grandparents' house. The place was full of aunts and uncles and friends. It was just a hub of activity. And I think now, my grandfather was only a few years older than I am now when I was born. And that blows my mind. The man grew up on a farm. He spent his life as an accountant. He built a house, married, raised 5 kids. And despite his own atheism, his children were raised in the church. But he understood it to be a human institution capable of amplifying our best impulses. When I was a teenager, he shared thoughtful and nuanced critiques of Christian faith, including the danger that Christianity was capable of amplifying not only our best impulses, but our hatreds. My grandfather saw religious experience as the human experience, clarified, amplified. So as I spent time with him, we did all sorts of things. We fixed chairs, we cleared out sheds and bought sacks full of hot dogs for all the million teenagers that were always rolling through that house. And we took his blue Jeep out to the lake and the dump. We played hand after hand of Gin Rummy on the back porch beneath a whole variety of taxidermied animals. I don't know if you have some like this in your life. There's like the pheasants and the deer. But wonderfully, when I just wanted to do something by myself, if I wanted to color, play Legos, he would just stay near and put on some music. Maybe he'd read. He didn't require anything of me. He's not a mythical figure. The man worked too much when my aunts and uncles were young. He missed out on much of their childhood. And he was too sick to be present for my cousins, because there was a gap there too in age. He fought constantly with my grandmother. He was contentious with his children. So I believe I got the best of him as a human being. As a child, I was too young to know his foibles, but I knew he loved me beyond any condition, and I was utterly safe in his care. Even as I came to see his flaws, the beauty of his love made cynicism difficult. The man didn't believe in God, but he modeled how I understood God's love. And I also have to say, he was the only adult in my life that let me use real tools. Like, I was allowed to use anything in the workshop that I could reach, even with a stool. And he wasn't an idiot, obviously. He curated them. But they were, you know, real blades. I could do some real damage. And I was encouraged to learn to get better at it. He showed me. But I was encouraged to get better at it just by doing it myself and getting on with the work. For me, the ability to use real tools, even at the risk of real damage, is part of God's love as well. So why would Dante confine my grandfather to hell? Why should an agent of God's love be excluded from the love of God? Psalm 24 opens. To the creator of all belongs the earth and all that fills her, the world and those who dwell in her. This is an image of a cornfield at night, and there are lightning bugs and there are stars. And I believe this image and this line from Psalm 24 are a beautiful affirmation of God's presence. It's an affirmation that we belong to the author of life wherever we are. It's an affirmation that the Creator's claim on the world defies our narrow boundaries and our boxy definitions. God's love is wild. It's not the kind of love that requires we scale backcountry mountains. It's not that kind of wild, but it definitely is not housebroken, right? Like, you want to be careful if you lock that love inside the house overnight. There's going to be some issues, because it needs to get out. So what do you think? This is just a question. What do you think about that image of God's love as half feral and unpredictable? Our thinking, our writing, our visual representations of the divine matter. So this is Episcopal priest, Wilda Gaffney. She's a professor of Hebrew Bible at Bright Divinity School, and she briefly ponders Psalm 24 in her book, A Woman's Lectionary for the Whole Church. And she also points out the language we use matters. There's a popular English language Bible, the New International Version, the NIV, and it translates the first line of Psalm 24 as this: the earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. Gaffney translates, to the creator of all belongs the earth and all that fills her, the world and all who dwell in her. So Gaffney is recognizing the original Hebrew song that is Psalm 24 balances the masculine word for Jehovah with the feminine word for earth. And her result in English is to just gently pull back how we say that God is masculine in our language. So similarly, the NIV translates Psalm 24:3 as, who may ascend the mountain of the Lord? Who may stand in his holy place? And Gaffney offers, who shall ascend the hill of the Holy One? Who shall stand in God's holy place? And I want to say, Gaffney is the more conventional translation. It's choosing to translate hill instead of mountain. And asking the question, who may stand in a warrior God's holy place atop a mountain, suggests a different answer than asking the question, who climbs atop a hill of Mother Earth, formed of a creator beyond gender? So when you think about meeting God in a holy place, do you assume scaling a mountain or climbing that gentle hilltop or something else entirely? There's no right answer, but I ask because the way we understand the Almighty is directly related to how we understand the work of the saints. What is divinity? How do we live in alignment with that light? There is an illuminated manuscript on screen. This is a detail, and it shows how All Saints were visualized in the 15th century by an Italian artist, Cosme Tura. So the altarpiece, the saints were stacked, but here, this is just a few years older, but what a difference. Let's look closer, if we can. There we go. So there's all this like gold leaf and fancy halos, like they're all jammed together. It's a little sea of saints, and there's men and women, and they're all mixed up. Nobody's on a hilltop. Nobody's taller than anybody else. And I love, can you see the little hat at the top there? Just poking up. It's just so solid, you could walk across them. They're just jammed in there. So Psalm 24 doesn't stop here. The pure of heart are left on the mountaintop in Psalm 24, and the scene shifts. And in verse 7, we are inside. We are no longer on the mountaintop. We have our heads down. We're getting through it. We're making it work. We're in another Zoom call, and we're sitting in our little boxes. But the wild love of our Creator calls us out of ourselves. Lift up your heads, you gates, and be lifted up, you everlasting doors, that the one of glory may come in. We don't need to be a top-shelf saint to be near the angels. We don't need to be on a hilltop to be near holy ground. And we don't need purified hearts to open the gates. We just need to look up. Lift up your heads so the one of glory may come in. And if glory is not a word you feel comfortable with, alternate translations include abundance and dignity and honor. Lift up your heads. The one of dignity is at your door. All we need to do is look up and realize the presence of the loving Creator who has been there all along. So this image, this is 110 years old. It's called All Saints by Wassily Kandinsky. And this suggests even more inclusive celebration than Tura. If you could check out the trumpeting angel. There is music, and there's a horse. There's like a white horse in there. There's people dancing. This is a party of saints. This is the wild love of God. And check your text, because everybody's invited. All Saints Day is for all the people we have loved and all the people of the world, including my grandfather. God excludes no one. If every part of the world and every person belongs to God, we can do nothing to step outside of that belonging. God may transcend our understanding, but we cannot transcend the presence of God. So we have lost 5 million people in this pandemic. And each of them has a name and a story. And last week, many of you submitted names of those you have also lost. So as we participate in the All Saints ritual today, we will show names submitted on screen and share a silence as we hold those people and others in prayer. After the silence, you'll be invited into an All Saints Day practice of lighting candles. And you can remember those you've lost this past year or further back. We encourage everyone, both here and in the sanctuary and at home, to participate. God hears you. As with communion, you can't screw this up. The candle stations are set up in the sanctuary. Please join at home with candles or prayer. My grandfather performed no miracles, and he professed no faith. But he inadvertently taught me about a divinity worth seeking. And more than once, I lifted up my head at a school play or recital, and he was there. I didn't even know he was coming. It was always a delight. This is a remembrance and a celebration. My grandfather is right there in Kandinsky's All Saints party. He is filled with the wild love of God. He's there right now, and I know he is at that party because he told me near the end that if there was something beyond this life, he was going to go to whatever venue had the best music. Amen.
There once was a man who lived too. You could find him spending too long making talk with some stranger on his walk, or abiding in mourning, yawning past one, reading the paper in a robe until every page was done, and pouring maple syrup on his vanilla ice cream, or eating every last bite, licking his plate clean, and he liked to take apart things just to put them back together precisely too many hours later. He stopped going to church after his children were grown. Duty done, he decided he'd rather stay home. And sometimes his two-ness caused a bit of harm, and his charming smile never failed to disarm. But I've never doubted that his too-much soul taught me something of a God who loves a little more, of abundance, in fact. A God who relishes being in the presence of grandchildren and river and sea. Really, if you thought God was tame, rethink a God who dreamed up trees with syrup in their veins. This too-much man is my grandpapa, the one who planted raspberries on my belly, taught me kite flying, played seesaw, blew bubbles in the pool, howling, the one who gave me my ma, and who loved life too much, which is just the right amount. Lord knows I needed him. Now, when I look at my little girl's face, it isn't hard to see the abiding presence of All Saints, her cheeks shaped like moon, just like his, and her utter delight at food and eagerness to kiss. What is many is one, for to the creator of all belongs the earth and all that fills her, the world and all those who dwell in her. And I don't mean to say separation doesn't sting or sometimes ransack our capacity to sing and too. I want to say that these All Saints who came before make living a reality. We wouldn't be without their lore. So, here's to Gus, Lorraine, Ken, Evelyn, Nikki, Carol, LJ, Doug, Jane, Claire, Bob, and Cheryl, Consuela, Tingwe, Laverne, Mary, Joe, Charlie, Brett, Dave, Ernie, Adrian, Roy, Ed, Jody, Bob, Logan, Carmel, and Mom, Ashley, Ian, Anna, Kate, Ruth, and Don, Keith, Emily, Glenn, Scotty, Jake, Ira, too, Glenda, Andrews, Chester, Vita, Wally, Sue, Marcia, Brian, Allen, Clara, Sue Younger, and Molly, Sammy Pickens, Kathy, Mary, Bob, Janice, and Harley, yes, Gregory, Jean, Tim, Clyde, Ken, Marley, and Vern, Debbie, Francis, Barbara, Jack, Dan, Wayne, Brian, Joan, Madge, Russ, and Katie, Susan, Dick, Christopher, Buck, Ruth, and Casey, and we lift them up now.
At this time, you're invited, as directed, to light candles. Mm-hmm.
As we gather again together, I invite you to join me in prayer. Sweet and loving God, we ask that you help us remember again and again to lift up our heads, to simply lift up our gaze, to find you at work in whatever stories of grief or loss that we carry each day, in whatever stories of joy or suffering that shape our lives, in the many moments of remembrance and celebration scattered throughout our years. Please bless all of these names that we've lifted up to you today, and also the people who remain unnamed but not lost in your sight, in your care, in your belonging. We ask this in your holy name, amen. I invite you to take a deep breath. Here at the table, one of the ways that we respond to God's love alive in all aspects of our world is through radical generosity. This takes many, many different shapes and forms. For some of us, it looks like deep commitments that we make here to this community of faith. And if that's something that feels inspiring to you or encouraging to you, you can find online how to share and become a part of the community, whether through your financial resources, your time, or whatever means feels right to you. At this time, we will invite you all to stand as you are able, and we're going to be going out today in song, singing "All Is Not Lost" with our music team.
As we move from this place, let's celebrate that all belong to God. Go in peace.
May the seeds of peace be scattered, birthing trees whose shame gives us rest. May the seeds of peace be scattered. say